Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Leonard. Turn your Bibles again to the book of James, chapter 2, please. James, chapter 2. As you turn in there, I'd like to welcome back Cammie Jalbert right up front here. Good to have you back. Been in Uganda after almost 4.5 months, understanding. And she came back with the Pretty Men's who spoke last Sunday, but we're so glad to have you back with us. She'll be giving a little presentation of a trip in the latter part of this month, and we'll give you the exact date on that. But we're so glad to have you back, and glad you got back safely. And welcome back to First Baptist Church. For those of you that are still on live stream, we did send out the bulletin. In fact, we sent out the bulletin every Friday and attached the sermon notes to that. Now, I understand some of you did not get the bulletin this week. I don't know what happened there. We did send it out. So every Friday, we send out the bulletin with all the announcements, and my sermon notes are attached to that. And so hopefully you have those for those of you who are still remaining at home. And it's good to look out here, sit up there. The camera's up there, and that's where I've been typically preaching, but now it's good to see you here. In recent days, we have been vividly reminded of one thing for certain, that racism is a very large issue in our country and on the hearts and minds of many, many people. In light of the recent events, I'd like to do a message on racism this morning, on about being prejudiced and about showing partiality, favoritism, and discrimination. As a whole, the Church of Jesus Christ has been silent on this issue. In fact, after almost 40 years here, I believe this is the very first message I've ever preached on racism. And no more needs to be said about it. So this morning I talk about the Christian and racism. The Christian and racism. So let's begin with the question, what is racism? What is racism? It can mean different things to different people. But according to the Oxford Dictionary, it defines racism as this: prejudice, discrimination, and antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior to the other. The word prejudice is defined as unreasonable feelings, opinions, or attitudes, especially of a hostile nature regarding the ethnic, racial, social, or religious group. And so we're going to look at this morning. Now, most of the scripture we're going to look at today I'll have on the screen, because I know some of you, it's kind of dark out there. You may not be able to see very well. But I want you to see we'll have most scriptures on the screen. The Bible has several examples of prejudice. Can you think of any prejudice in the Bible? The first thing I thought of was Jonah towards the Ninevites. Remember, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach against them because they were wicked people. And how did Jonah respond? He ran the opposite direction. He did not want to go because of his prejudice against these people. Now, you know the story. God used circumstances to bring him to obedience, and eventually went there and preached. And the whole city turned from the wicked ways, and Jonah got upset that God did not destroy them, and because of his prejudice against those people. In the New Testament, can they give any prejudice there? How about the Jews against the Samaritans? A good example of that is when, remember, Jesus went to the woman at the well. Generally, as the Jews travel, they completely go around Samaria because of the prejudice against these people. Would have nothing to do with them. However, Jesus went there because there was a woman there that needed to be saved. In John 4:9, it says this: "Then saith the woman of the Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So there is much prejudice of people against others in the Bible. How about you? Do you have any prejudice against other races? People of different skin color? Other cultures? So this morning I look at, what does God say about this? What does the Scripture say about racism? So let's begin. First of all, I want you to notice God's admonition to Christians. Look in James chapter 2, in verse 1. Notice here, he's speaking to Christians. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." The word faith here is not talking about the faith we put in Christ to save us, not about believing believing in Christ as Savior. But it's talking about the everyday practice of faith. As believers, as we set out to practice our faith, to show our belief in the Bible and God's Word, we should not be respecter of persons. That means to show partiality, favoritism, or discrimination. It means exalting someone strictly on external basis, such as appearance, race, health, rank, or social status. And so much of that is going on today in racism. And so what God says here, that we that know Christ as Savior, that set out to live for Christ, honor Him with our lives, we should not do that with respect of persons. James is saying that the practice of our faith as Christians should not include favoritism, discrimination against other people, other races. Notice here in verse 2, James presents a hypothetical case. James 2, verse 2. He said, "For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring or goodly apparel, and there come in also a man in vile raiment." The word here, goodly apparel, means fine, expensive clothing. You can tell by the way that person dressed, they have money. Maybe by the car they drive up to the church, you can see that man, that woman's well off. So this type of person comes to your church. But also, another man comes in vile raiment. The word vile means cheap, shabby, dirty, or filthy. Well, you see one man come in a very expensive car, and by the way he dressed, you can see he must be well off. The other man comes in, he doesn't come in a car. You might have saw him walking down the road. He's a homeless man. And he decides to visit the church on Sunday morning. He comes in, and you can tell by his body odor and by the way he dresses, he doesn't have a normal place to stay. So here is a hypothetical case. You've got these two men coming to an assembly of believers. Then verse 3, it says, "And ye have respect or favoritism toward him that weareth gay," it means goodly or expensive clothing, "and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, and sit here under my footstool." Let me ask you a question. How do you respond when people come to our church you do not know? If you see a person pull up here and they got a very, maybe over $100,000 car, and they get out, and you can tell by the way they dress, they got a lot of money, and they walk in the church. And maybe after him, another person comes in, you can tell he's homeless. Maybe he's got a trench coat on, it's just filthy, and his hair is matted, and he smells, and he stinks. How would you feel? Would you be more comfortable about the one that seems to be wealthy and has everything going for him, far as materially speaking? Or which one would you ask to sit with you during the service? I'm sure there's many, maybe here today, that would be happy and invite the wealthy man to come sit with me. But the man who has body odor, smells, is very dirty and got vile raiment, you wouldn't even, some of us probably wouldn't even go talk to him. I hope that's not the case. But what he's talking about here is showing favoritism towards some and not the others. He said, "And you have respect to him that weareth the goodly clothing." The word respect here means to gaze with favor or partiality. In verse 4, he said, "Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world and rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called?" Let me ask you this, and we're talking about people that come across being wealthy or poor. How about people of other nationalities, other skin colors? How would you respond? How about someone you can tell by their apparel that they're a Muslim? And they walk in. How would you respond to that? What James is saying here, that one's outward appearance does not necessarily reflect one's character. The rich man may be coming in and want to show himself off how rich he is and want your admiration and praise. The poor man may be coming in, though he's smelly and dirty. He wants to come and worship God. He wants to come and learn how to be saved. He wants to come and interest in spiritual things. And many times the poor man is shunned or people of other different colors, other nationalities are shunned because of the way they look. And James says, brethren, this ought not to be. When we practice our faith, we should not do it with respect for persons. Let me give you three reasons why having respect of persons is wrong here from the book of James. The first one, by showing favoritism, we become judges of evil intentions. It's in verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? The word partial means that you show favoritism and discriminate. We often are partial towards people who are rich because we think that person has God's favor and blessings upon them because look all they have. But sometimes we're partial towards people with money because look what they might do for our church. They might be able to tithe a lot and take care of things around here. But we look at a poor man, we think, what can he do for us? What can he do for the church? And so many times we shun people because of favoritism shown towards some and not others. The next way is why it's wrong is by doing so, by showing favoritism, we're breaking God's law. Verse 8 says this, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as who? Thyself ye do well. The word royal law means a kingly law. It more means a sovereign law. The idea that this law is supreme and binding. If we say that we are Christians and serve the Lord, then we must live as He requires and dictates from His Word. By not showing favoritism and loving all people, regardless of whether they are rich, poor, black or white, Asian or Hispanic, we should show the love of Christ to all people. The third reason why showing favoritism is wrong is because, according to the next verse, we are sinning against God. We are sinning against God. Verse 9, it says, but if ye, speaking to Christians, if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin and convinced of the law as transgressors. In other words, if we discriminate, show favoritism, partiality towards a person because of the color of his skin, the way he dresses, then that is sin. Now please listen. Racism is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. Did you understand that? Racism is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. And the root problem is pride. Many times we think we're better than someone else. And the reason is pride. Pride exalts oneself over the other. What's the sin of Lucifer? Pride. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And the root cause of racism and partiality and prejudice is pride, is sin. So again, the problem is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. We saw God's admonition to Christians. Number two, now let's look at God Himself shows no favoritism. God shows no favoritism. If you would please go now to Acts chapter 10, please. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 10. Here we see clearly from Scripture, God is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Here Peter's preaching. He says something about the character of our God. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. God shows no favoritism. He's not a respecter of persons. 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is what? Accepted of him. God does not show favoritism. God is not prejudiced. God is not a respecter of persons. And it says here, but in every nation, the word nation means ethnos or race. God accepts all races, all skin colors, and we should too. Romans chapter 2:11 says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. In fact, Proverbs 24:23, I like this verse. These things also belong to the wise, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. You mean to discriminate, to show favoritism and partiality. It is not good to do this in judgment. God is not a respecter of persons. In fact, God does not judge a man by his outward appearance. God does not judge a man by his outward appearance. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, many of you are familiar with this verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, somebody's his outward appearance, or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh where? On the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God is not looking at a man's skin color. He's not looking at his nationality or where he's from. He looks on a man's heart. God does not judge a man by his outward appearance. Next, number three, I'd like to give you some reasons why one race is not superior to another. One race. Remember the definition of racism? It means prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. And perhaps the word I want to focus on is the word superior. I want to give you seven reasons why one race is not superior to another. And I hope you pay close attention. First of all of us are on equal footing by creation. All of us are on equal footing by creation. God created us all. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And therefore we are one race, the human race. Genesis 1:26 says this, For God said, let us make man in whose image? Our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God, and they're talking about all men, no matter what skin color, they've been created in the image of God. Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. All of us are descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all, no matter what our skin color is, nationality is, we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, all created by God himself. In fact, interesting, the United States Declaration of Independence includes this statement. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Otherwise, that's based upon Scripture. Next, all of us are on equal footing when it comes to sin. How many of us have sinned, by the way? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Racism and all other wrongs is a result of sin. Next, all of us are on equal footing with the love of God. I think all of you know John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the what? The world. That's humanity. Interesting, a song I haven't heard for many years, but we sang when I was in Sunday school. It says, Jesus loves the little children. How many remember that song? It says, Jesus loves the little children. It says, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his what? Sight. And we're all, that God loves the world. He loves all humanity, no matter what color of their skin, what nationality they are, he loves all of us. We're all on the equal footing with the love of God. Next, all of us are on equal footing at the cross of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 2:2, it talks about Jesus Christ, talking about his death on the cross, the payment he made for our sin, that he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the payment he made for our sin was not just for white people, not just for black people, not just Oriental people, not just Hispanic, but all humanity. We're on the same footing at the cross because Jesus Christ came to die for all the world, all humanity. Hebrews 2:9 says this, but we see Jesus, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus did not die for a select few. He died for the sins of all humanity, of all cultures, of all races. We're on equal footing at the cross of Jesus Christ. Next, all of us are equal footing with God's offer of salvation. Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, no matter what they are in skin color or nationality, whoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. We're all on equal footing with God's offer of salvation. In fact, the Great Commission, where are we told as a church to go to? Go ye therefore and teach all, what's the word? Nations. The word nation means race, tribe, or people. We're not to show favoritism ourselves when we go give the gospel. We're to go to reach every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next, all of us are on equal footing with the judgment of God. In Colossians 3:25, it says this, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, for there is no respect of persons to God. We're all on equal footing with the judgment of God. And lastly, on this point, all of us are on equal footing in the church of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all one in Christ. In the church, no matter the color of the skin or the race, every born-again believer is a brother and sister in Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. However, even among Christians, because of racial prejudice, some love more than others. A verse that came to my mind, 1 John 4:20. If a man, talk about a believer, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God in whom he hath not seen? Do you have any prejudice towards a person of another skin color? Do you have any favoritism to someone that's not like you? So far we've looked at God's admonition to the Christian. We looked at God shows no favoritism. We saw reasons why one race is not superior to another race. Let's conclude with the last point. Let's look at the biblical behavior for all Christians. How the Bible said we should behave as His children. Christians should always treat others with humility, gentleness, kindness, and grace without prejudice, discrimination, and antagonism. In fact, Luke 6:33, is called the Golden Rule. It said, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them what? Likewise. I remember when I was in public school, that was on the wall in the classroom. In fact, every year we get a foot-long ruler, and on that ruler would say the Golden Rule. And it had this verse on it, that we're to treat others, no matter the skin color, nationality, treat them as we want others to treat us. It's also in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things, and everything, we're saying here, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Basically, we're to treat others no matter where they're from, how they look, how they smell, how they are. We should treat them as we want others to treat us. This was true both in the Old and New Testament. Look with me now to the book of Leviticus, please. We're just about done this morning. Leviticus chapter 19. I want you to notice God's command to Israel. Leviticus 19, please. God's command to Israel. Here he talks about strangers, foreigners, people that are different than they were. Leviticus 19:33. Listen what it says. To his people, the Jews, that if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. The word vex means to treat violently, to mistreat, or do wrong. Basically, if someone comes to you, he's speaking to the Jew, and they're different from you, they're a stranger, they're an alien, they're not part of your nation, part of your people, you're not to treat them wrongly. Verse 34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So to the Jew in the Old Testament, if someone comes to you different from you, they're not part of your nation, not part of your race, you are to accept them as they were part of your race, part of your culture, part of your people. And you love them as yourself. That's God's command to Israel. But now go to Galatians, please. Galatians. I want you to know now Paul's admonition to fellow believers, to the body of Christ today. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 13, I want you to notice he's speaking to brethren, to Christians. That's what he says here. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as who? Thyself. The same thing he said to the Jew in the Old Testament, he said to the church in the New Testament. Or to love others. And so the word neighbor here means any other man, irrespective of race, religion, with whom we live, whom we have a chance to meet. We are to love them as ourselves. You know, I know I'm dating myself. I was born in the early 50s. I grew up in the 60s. I remember the time when blacks were mistreated so horribly. I grew up in a small town in North Florida. In that town, there was so much segregation. There was so much disrespect and mistreatment of black people. In fact, at that time, there were two schools. There was a white school. There was a black school. We went to the movie theater. The whites sat on the bottom floor. The blacks sat on the balcony. They could not intermingle. They had two concession stands. They could not go together. They went in two separate doors. My mother worked at a truck stop. It was called Betts Big T. It was a truck stop at that time on U.S. 19 before they had highways, the 75, the interstate. A lot of traffic. She was the manager of the restaurant. But Betts Big T had three bathrooms. Male, female, and black. The black were not allowed to use the white bathroom. The blacks were not allowed to come and eat in the restaurant with the white people. They had to go and eat with the cooks in the back by themselves. They were mistreated so poorly. And when they started doing segregation and moving together during the late 60s, they was going to send all the junior high to the black school, so the white and black would be together in the original black school, and all the high school and junior high would be in the white school. And when they did that, somebody burned down the black school. And they had to all meet together in one place. However, because the civil rights laws were enacted to correct this discrimination. But please listen. Laws can change our behavior. The law cannot change the heart. We may not show discrimination because of the laws that are against that nowadays. But laws can change our behavior. And boy, we've come a long way since the 60s and how the blacks have been mistreated. But the laws change that. But how about your heart? Here's a verse many of you know from the book of Psalms. And I want you to think, how about you? I don't know if you're racial, as far as have racism, or if you show prejudice. I don't know that. And as far as what I see of it is not true. But outwardly, but how about inwardly? When you get around someone of another race, do you feel uncomfortable? Do you feel want to show favoritism towards someone of your own color? Listen to this verse. I think we all of us ought to do this. In Psalm 139:23, David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I just want to ask you, ask God to do that for you. Outwardly, you may show all kinds of respect to all races. But inwardly, your heart. Ask God to reveal your heart this morning. He said, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So, again, as a body of Christ, we see, in fact, this morning, it was what a joy it was to watch your faces when you came into the brothers and sisters, to see people we hadn't seen in a while, how you welcomed each other and felt so comfortable. And if you could, I'm sure you'd hug everybody that came in today. You showed such favoritism and such comfort. But what if someone come in you did not know, of a different race, a different skin color, different nationality, did not talk the way you talk, did not look the way you look? Again, I use the, what about if someone you could tell by the way they dress? Maybe a woman come in with that, you could tell by her apparel that she's a Muslim, face covered. How would you feel? Would you welcome to come sit with you? Sometimes we do not think we have any prejudice, but God knows our hearts. And I want to encourage you, I hope First Baptist Church never shows prejudice against any race over another, that we show the love of God toward everyone. Even though the law can change our behavior, only God can change our hearts. So let me close with this verse. We began with James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That's something Christians should not have. Close your Bibles, please. This morning I've been speaking to believers, and specifically to the body of Christ known as First Baptist Church, and dealing with an issue that is so prevalent that's going on today called racism. And I'm encouraging you to search your hearts and make sure there is no prejudice in you towards someone of a different skin color, of a different nationality, or a different culture, that we would purpose in our hearts to show the love of Christ to everyone. Aren't you glad God did not die only for a certain race? He died for all humanity. And He died for you in the person of His Son. In fact, the verse we looked at, for God so loved the world. That's me. That's you. No matter what race or skin color you are, my friend, Jesus Christ died for you. Because the Bible says, no matter who we are, where we're from, we're all sinners. We have all broken the laws of God and sinned against Him. And the Bible says the God we've sinned against is a holy, righteous God. He loves sinners, but He hates sin. And because of His hatred towards sin, because of His holiness, He's pronounced a penalty of sin. He says the wages of sin is death. And because you and I have sinned against God, we've earned the judgment of a holy God. And if you and I pay for our sin, we have to die and go to hell to do it. But the good news is, God loves you just the way you are. And He loves you so much, He sent His Son to pay the penalty for you. The penalty of sin that I owe to God, Jesus Christ paid for on the cross. When He died for me and paid for my sin, was buried, and He rose again. And God offers all humanity, no matter what culture, what race, skin color, His forgiveness, His home, a home in His heaven, and eternal life. And we're all responsible to receive Christ by faith to save us and forgive us and give eternal life. I'm confident everyone here has done that. But I just want to encourage you. Let's look at others the way that Christ looks at them. Let's respond to others. Show the love of Christ to others as Christ does. And remember the verse, let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And let's go one step for that. Let's love our neighbors as Christ loves them and show the love of Christ to them. Let's bow together, please. With the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, a few moments ago, I asked you to ask God to search your heart, to see if there's any prejudice or discrimination in you towards others based upon their skin color, their race, their nationality, the way they look. If God reveals that to you and you find you are show favoritism, that you have some prejudice, why not ask God to forgive you? We saw that to show respect to persons, and James said, it is sin. And oh, that God would help us to deal with that. If we confess our sin, He is just, faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we ask God to love everyone, all others, no matter how they look, how they smell, how they are, with the love of Christ that He showed toward us. Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You that James dealt with this issue of respect to persons. We're so glad that You're not a respecter of persons. We pray that You help us to be like You in every dealings we have with men. For us in Jesus' name, amen.